Anybody who's taken a guitar or a violin and started to play for a passerby at a subway stop or a park knows that street musician is a profession with rules of its own. Yes, of course, location, 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 but that's just one of the tips Max Judelson listed in a recent piece for the Wall Street Journal. Max will join us in just a moment to offer insight into the profession, advice for aspiring street performers, and the rules you've got to follow. So, street performers, we want to hear from you. What's the key to filling up your instrument case with cash? 800-989-8255 is the phone number. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website and find a link to Max's article there. Go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Max Judelson plays cello on the streets of Boston and joins us now from our member station there, WBUR. Nice to have you with us today.
Thanks for having me.
And maybe not on the streets of Boston so much as in the subways of Boston.
Yeah, I found it's a little bit easier for me as a soloist to play in the subways. It's easier to project. And the sound doesn't just go out into the sound of cars and all that.
But Max Judelson, don't you have cars rumbling through every few minutes?
Yeah, it's true. I play mostly at the Charles MGH stop.
Oh, that's Massachusetts General?
Yes.
Okay.
On the Red Line, on the outbound side. And it's a very large station, and it's really pretty resonant for me. And so I'm not too close to the cars, the train cars, but it is hard to hear when they come by.
It's interesting. You mentioned that there's another stop at Harvard Square that's also very popular, but also very competitive. So the competition, you have to be aware of that. That's one of the tips you offer.
Yeah. I guess the name of the article should really be called More Guidelines for Musician, because Street Musician, because it's not really any written rules or anything like that. But I found there I didn't quite have such good luck because there are a lot of musicians who play there, and a lot of the passerbys sort of tune out to the musicians there.
Oh, so they'll just walk from one to the next to the next to the next. But also, you said you got there at 7 o'clock one morning, and all the spots were taken.
Yeah, there's really one spot there on the inbound side of the Red Line, and it's right on the platform. So it gets pretty crowded, and there's a lot of noise. And, yeah, at 7 o'clock in the morning is a busy time in the subways for street musicians or subway musicians or whatever you want to call them.
What do you want to call buskers, I think, is the...
another term.
Yeah. Here's an email we have from Ty in Denver, Colorado. Bring a dog, he writes. Even if it's not yours, people can't resist a puppy.
That's I haven't thought of that one. I don't have a dog.
Well, you might be well advised to buy one. It might be well worth the Alpo.
Yeah.
I wonder, when you open your case, you obviously want people to put money in it. Do you seed the case with some money of your own, maybe folding money to encourage them that paper money would be fine to donate that as well as silver?
Yeah, I've tried a few different things. You know, if you put change in, sometimes... If you put change in, people will give you change. If you put bills in, they'll give you bills. Other times, when you start from an empty case, it fills up just as quickly as anything else. But it's important to have your customers feel comfortable that they're putting their money in the right place. So it's mostly just to show people where to put the money. Is why I do that.
I see. And this is a tip from Matt in Nashville, Tennessee, who writes, you can never let too much money pile up in your case. People don't want to give you money if they think that you have enough.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I try to keep a reasonable amount of money there. So in some ways, people see, well, other people like Tim, so I might too. And then... But if you have too much, people think, well, you don't need my dollar. So especially big bills, if you ever get any, you know, $5, $10, $20 bills, those are sort of important to keep away from
From the eyes of the public. So
yeah.
We're talking with Max Judelson, a street musician, a subway musician in Boston, Massachusetts. We'd like to hear from his compatriots in the street musician trade. 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Matt's on the line from Baldwin City in Kansas.
Well, hi. I used to be a street musician in the Music Under Boston program. And I found that my biggest success was just from playing a rather odd instrument. or I, you know, found a certain amount of people interested in what I was doing, I play the hammer dulcimer, which in 1980 was really not all that well known, and has a very pleasant sound. And one of the ancillary benefits was somebody took a picture of me when I was doing this, and it wound up in the American Heritage Dictionary under dulcimer.
That's good, Matt.
At least it was in the 1980s, and then in the 1990s they switched to a little bit clearer picture of a hammer dulcimer. But if you find a second college edition, I'm in there.
Okay, Matt. Well, I hope you got some wonderful royalties from that.
They're rolling in, I have to tell you.
Thanks very much for the phone call. Appreciate it.
Thanks for it. It's a great subject.
An odd instrument, is a cello considered odd in Boston, Max?
Yeah, a lot of people don't. Well, I mean, I also play the upright bass. I'm a bass student at the Boston Conservatory, and cello is sort of like my first instrument, but a secondary instrument now. And it's sort of a novel instrument because people don't usually take them out. They're sort of large. You see a lot more guitars and violins, those two things mostly. But I also played upright bass in Paris on the street with a drummer. He had a snare drum and a plastic bucket and sort of a tin, like, chamber pot sort of thing. And that whole scene, having upright bass and sort of strange percussion, the novelty of it really sold pretty well.
It is interesting. You write also about repertoire, and you have to be careful to attune your musical selections to the mood of the day.
Yeah, I don't have a huge repertoire. I don't really claim to be a great cellist, but I have enough music to suit many different days. And just because I like one tune doesn't mean I'll play it, because it might not work for that day. You know, I'll go through and until I find something that works and that touches people that day, and it's not always the same tune.
Let's go next to Rod, and Rod's on the line with us from Beulah in Colorado.
How's it going, Neil?
Not too bad.
Good. Great subject you're working on here today.
Well, thank you for that.
First time I started to play for tips, busking, was in Germany back in 1965. And that's kind of where I learned how to make that work. And it's quite fun, and it actually can be a source of employment.
And what did you find that particularly worked for you?
Well, I think you have to reach out to the pedestrian, to the passerby, or the person that's come up and joined the queue and is watching to see what's going on. I've seen a lot of buskers who they're just kind of into their own music. They're into themselves. They don't look at the people who might stop and listen or might approach them. And I think that's really a key. And that's in addition to having some musical expertise.
Max Juddelson, you said that was key, eye contact.
Yeah, eye contact, warm, positive. That's what I pretty much worked on, was warm, positive, engaging, smiling. I might even, if I'm playing upbeat tunes, which that's a lot of what I do, I might just dance right along with the pedestrian and have fun doing that. Whether they turned around and wanted to give me a tip or not was kind of beside the point, because that engaged, other people saw that, and it also brought up my energy and my mood.
And Max, I'm not sure it's easy to dance with somebody if you're playing a cello, but you did write that eye contact was very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Even just a glance, I mean, there's so little of that in the commuting world, even in the everyday world. People don't look you in the eye very often. And it's sort of a boundary that needs to be broken in order to reach people. And so, I don't wear sunglasses. I try not to wear hats. I realized the other day that the picture in the article, I am wearing a hat, and
yeah.
I apologize for the inconsistencies. But eye contact is paramount, yeah.
And do you find most of your donors are people who are walking by and nod of appreciation and take something out of their pocket and throw it in, or are they the people who stop and listen for a little while?
It really depends. I mean, I play usually, I mean, I pretty much only play at the Mass General stop, and only in the mornings between 7 and 9. And there are a lot of the same people who...
Oh, come through every day. Yeah, regulars, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's a woman who sometimes, if I just get there, she usually is there a few minutes before 7. I try and show up a few minutes before 7 also. And sometimes she comes up the stairs and I'm not playing yet. I'm still sort of setting up and getting sort of waking up also. And she'll, you know, throw some dollars down just because she knows who I am and has heard me before. And just because I'm not playing right then, she still supports me.
We're talking with Max Juddelson, whose article, 10 Rules for Street Musicians, appeared in the Wall Street Journal. There's a link to it at our website. Go to npr.org. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Here's an email question from Meg. I've always wondered, if you only have large bills and only want to tip a buck, is it acceptable to make change out of the money in a musician's case?
Yeah, I actually have a regular customer of mine who twice a month usually shows up with a $20 bill and wants to give me $5. And so she'll just go through the case and take a bunch of ones and leave me a $20 bill. And it's great because a lot of times when you end up with $50, $60 in ones, it takes up a lot of room in your wallet.
Though I suspect it's important to show the 20 before you start taking the singles.
Yeah, I trust her to not steal.
Okay. Let's see if we go next to Damien. Damien with us from Waltham in Massachusetts.
How you doing?
All right.
I'm good. I've found that engaging the children, I used to play a lot at Faneuil Hall. If you engage the children through talking to them and then playing like upbeat music, the parents will stop because they're thrilled that someone is entertaining their child, especially in a crowded marketplace. And they're the ones carrying the wallet.
I think you may have channeled Max Juddelson's piece. You wrote that the children are your best audience.
Yeah, very consistently stop and get their parents' attention and try and get their parents to stop and make a big deal about it and get other people to stop. And they're just easily engaged, and that's really important to get other people engaged.
Damien, thanks for the tip.
Thank you. Bye.
Here's an email from BZ in Sonora, California. How you busk depends on where you busk. Your approach needs to somehow match the venue. No sober, sad music at a family state park where everyone's out to have a good time. More eclectic on a busy city street where all kinds of people are going by. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. I play mostly sort of top 40 classical arias, cello pieces and things at Mass General, and I played for a while on the Blue Line at Government Center with a guitar player who'd spent many years in Guatemala and who knew a lot of popular tunes. And there's a lot of the Blue Line goes out to East Boston, where a lot of immigrant folks live, and we were able to play traditional tunes, pop songs that people knew the words to. And if I had gone down there and played solo cello, it really wouldn't have worked out very well.
Now, I'm not sure that there are a lot of pop tunes written for solo cello.
You sort of have to just play them whether they're written for them or not.
Let's go next to, this is Andy. Andy with us from Boston.
Hello.
Hi, Andy.
I am an opera singer. I used to be a street opera singer, but now I sing on the stage, not on the street. But I started my brief street singing career in Naples when I was on exchange. I was supposed to meet my friend, and he was going to give me money for the train ride home.
And then came up a little short.
Exactly. So I got a cardboard box, put it down in the Galleria, sang the three Neapolitan songs I knew, and the people went crazy to see this. Obviously, I have red hair. I'm Irish looking. Mm-hmm. Let me see this young kid who's obviously not Italian singing their songs. And I made enough for about three or four train fares in three songs.
Did you consider just staying in Naples?
Yeah, I would have done well.
I wonder, though, and you've since got on the stage, Andy, but for a moment, did you think, you were obviously successful too, but is this begging?
I don't think so. You're giving people something that they obviously want and value and would pay for. So, no.
All right. All right, Andy, and congratulations on your elevation to the stage.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we go next to, this is Nick. Nick with us from New Haven.
How you doing?
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm a jazz trumpet player, and the first time I ever played on the street was, I think, in San Antonio. I was on the road with a band, and a blues band that was playing in the club I was playing outside of actually invited me in to sit in with them.
Wow.
But, it was a great experience. But actually, contrary to what your other callers have been saying, I'd say it's very hard to make it as a street musician when you're not, you know, one of those typical guitar players singing folksy tunes or maybe some classic rock. They always seem to have the most money in their buckets.
Do you make a living, Max Jettleson, or do you augment your living significantly busking?
Yeah, I manage to pay bills and groceries and things. It's, you know, I don't do it full time, especially during the winter. I really can't play in the cold. But during the summer, I'm out probably 6 hours a week or so, and it really helps make things come around.
Well, Nick, thanks very much for your offering. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
And Max Jettleson, thank you for your time today.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.
Max Jettleson performs in the Subways of Boston, also plays in the band Our Illustrious Guests. We're hearing their song Columbus Night, and he joined us today from member station WBUR in Boston. Tomorrow, Sudan Sovereignty and Secession. When is breaking up the best option? That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, NPR News in Washington.